We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Basketball is finally back in the Bay Area. Felt like 100 days, but it was really just 8. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 the game. Game 1 tonight. Utah Jazz at Golden State Warriors. Coverage begins here at 6 p.m. with Warriors warm-up. Tip time, 7:30 p.m., 95.7 the game. We've got more tickets to give away this hour. This time it'll be Foreigner with Cheap Trick at Shoreline, Saturday, September 2nd. But boys, you can feel it. We're in the fourth hour. You can tell the excitement's building. We're getting closer and closer to tip time. Finally going to be great to see these guys back on the court, Dibs, after what we've been seeing in other game ones in this round. It's been nothing but blowouts.
It has been. And the big question for me in the opening 6 minutes is, rest or rust? Do they come out popping on all cylinders because they got enough rest and they're absolutely primed and ready to go? Or are they a little rusty, having not played any meaningful games in more than a week? If it's the latter, if it is rust and they fall behind, there can be a lot of nervous Warrior fans around.
Former Warrior GM and 14-year NBA vet Rod Higgins is going to join us in about 8 minutes. We're going to jump right back in the hoops in a moment. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
And tonight is the big night, of course. It's the Golden State Warriors resuming their playoff run with the Utah Jazz in town. Matt Barnes hoping to be on the floor. Sean Livingston trying to fight back from finger and hand issues as well. Tim Roy on the station yesterday said the bench is playing quite well right now.
I think their bench is peaking. I think it's peaking at the right time. It's playing much better now than it was in November. And I think that's going to give Steve Kerr / Mike Brown options in this series that maybe they wouldn't be as confident of if the games were played in November.
One of the options, Joe, could be JaVale McGee coming off the bench to try to take the place of Zaza when Gobert's on the floor.
When you talk rest versus rust, that's why I'm convinced even if you deal with a little rust, 6 minutes into the game, it's all going to change. Because when McGee checks in, that shot of life, that adrenaline that he brings to this club, and in addition to the curveball factor that he brings to Utah having to switch up their defense, that's going to be what solves any issues the Warriors have, should they encounter any, for being off for so long early in this game.
Cavs won game one of their series. The Rockets devoured the Spurs. Celtics and Wizards tonight in game two. Boston leads that one game to none. Story number two, the Giants bats woke up in an absolute avalanche of offense.
Don't you insult me like
that. High drive.
Get out.
Left field.
Stretch.
Out of here. And the Giants retake the lead.
The Giants erupt and take the lead. Dwayne Kuiper the call. NBC Sports Bay Area. The hits kept coming, Joe, in bunches. I think they're still batting at this hour.
Hunter Pence had one hit, Dibs. One hit, singular.
What was it, Joe?
It was a two-run home run. And we're going nuts.
Yeah, here we are going
stretch.
Nuts. High drive.
You can't put it on the board.
Yes. Two homers off Clayton Kershaw. Giants back at it today. The A's are playing baseball after an off day, opening up a 9-game road trip in Minnesota. No one loves Minnesota more than Lo Neal. Nobody. Sonny Gray making his 2017 debut against Irvin Santana. You can catch that game in its entirety on KFOX. We'll have it for you starting at 4:15 here on 95.7 The Game. The update brought to you by Covered California. Lose your health insurance recently? If so, you may still qualify for health coverage through Covered California. Visit coveredca.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. Our coverage starts at 6 o'clock tonight right here on 95.7 The Game.
Much like they say, the first hole sets the tempo for a great round of golf. That update sets the tempo for a great hour of Sports Talk Radio.
Thank you, Joe.
You can go ahead and mail it in the rest of the way out, Dibs. That was dynamite work.
I got some stamps in my bag.
Okay, we're going to get to Rod Higgins here in about 5 minutes, so we're going to jump back into a hoops conversation we were having right before the top of the hour. If you're Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Paul George, Gordon Hayward, any big-time player headed for free agency or with the option of heading for free agency, and you look around, what are you going to prioritize? If you want to sign with a team in the Western Conference, you have to contend with the Warriors. Durant's going to re-sign. He's probably only going to take the 20% raise, which is going to open up the floor to bring back Iguodala and Livingston, hopefully. And Steph's going to re-sign. So for the next, at least, I'd say 3 years, reasonably, that's going to be the premier team in the Western Conference. And you already have seen what they're capable of. In the East, there's probably 3 good years left of LeBron James. Where do you go? Like, if you want to win a ring and you're Chris Paul, what do you do? If you're Paul George and you want to win a ring, what do you do? If you're Carmelo at this point and you decide you want to win a ring, what do? Do you call Hayward and Griffin and Paul George and any of these other dudes and try to find a super team? And if you do, where do you form it? Do you challenge LeBron in the East? Because I'm tired of Eastern basketball. Mm. We can make the case every year, yeah, no, it's getting better. Is it? LeBron hasn't lost a first-round game in 33 years, right? 21 straight first-round wins. He's already up big on Toronto. That was an ass-kicking last night. I mean, where do we go? What do you do if you're Paul George, Gordon Hayward, and these guys?
I think that PJ has the best chance to win in a championship, Paul George, that is. Because, see, he can change the Houston Rockets as one. He can go there because he can play with Beverly and play there. They have some scoring power, and they're rebounding pretty well. Or he can also play in San Antonio and give them better. I think San Antonio's still a little off because they're older.
Coach, I'm done with them. I don't want to hear another damn word about the Spurs ever. It's over with them. Every year, the Spurs are going to be the big obstacle to the Warriors. They just got boat raced at home in game one. I'm done with them.
They got boat raced. And then in another place, I think that Paul George can really consider going to the Cavs. Because now you've got LeBron and Paul George, and now you have a point guard in Kyrie Irving, and you put Love. You still put love on the court, and then you have Tristan Thompson. I think that would be, if they're going to try to keep a super team, PJ would be good in Cleveland.
But I don't think financially they can afford that. Like, yeah, if he would want to go join them, but that's not the question. You can't join Cleveland because they can't afford it. You can't join the Warriors because they can't afford it. If you're going to win a title, how are you going to do it? Because you've got to get through one
Rockets.
Of those two, the Rockets.
I would think the Rockets.
So financially, we'd have to look to see what the Rockets situation is. Would you consider trying to talk to one other guy? Like, if you're Paul George, do you maybe talk with like a Blake Griffin or a Gordon Hayward and say, what do you think about going to Minnesota? Young team, on the come. Maybe in 3 years when LeBron's out of the picture, or maybe in 3 years when the Warriors are older and they start to break up and go different ways, maybe that's when we strike. Do you try to sign up with a younger team and make a long-term investment? Because right now, I don't see an avenue. If you wanted to win a title short of joining one of those two teams, that's the biggest problem for the NBA. NBA Finals ratings will be fantastic, but the rest of this is nothing. I mean, that Spurs-Rockets game, I was genuinely interested in watching that game for about 10 minutes until you realized Spurs can't keep up. Spurs got nothing.
They don't. I think they're going to play better, Joe, but I think that, you, like you said, when you saw the first one, it was ugly because they tried to get in the, they tried to run with them and they can't do it. But that's why if you put PJ with that team, with the Houston Rockets, you think about Beverly, one of the best defensive players in the game. Now you have Harden, and now you have Paul George, who can play defense, can shoot, and Paul George is probably a poor man, KD. He can penetrate. He can create shots. He can do a lot of different things. So he's still a top 10, 12 player in the NBA. So if you can add a guy like that, I think that team still can be pretty solid.
From the 510, if Joe is counting out the Spurs, he's stupid. Why? Why should I count the Spurs in? The Spurs haven't been in play in 4 years.
I think that was a bad game, though. I don't believe they're
going to. And I'm sure that they're going to do something in this series. They're not going to get swept. I'm not saying they're not going to get swept. I'm saying, why should I consider them a legitimate threat to win 4 of 7 against the Warriors? 2 years ago, I heard that was the big obstacle. They couldn't get there. Last year, I heard it was the big obstacle. They couldn't get there. This year, I heard that they were the big obstacle. They just got crushed by Houston on their own court by 27 points in game one. So why should I count them in? Instead of counting them out, why should I count them in? Someone needs to start selling me on why they're an obstacle rather than selling me on the fact that it could be someone else.
Well, they've got the best two-way player in the NBA in Kawhi Leonard. And they have the man who's widely regarded as the best coach in the NBA. He didn't have any magic last night, certainly with the way they played, and he didn't look like he made that many adjustments. They have a team that can compete with you defensively. They can shoot the three, and I think you put last night aside, you realize that this team is good enough, especially at home, a place where the Warriors historically have struggled. They're good enough to prolong a series, then anything can happen.
Rod Higgins, former Warriors general manager and 14-year NBA veteran, joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Rod, good morning and thank you for your time. I'll jump right into what we were talking about. If you're a guy headed for free agency or the option of free agency, say you're Gordon Hayward, say you're Paul George, say you're Chris Paul, any of these guys, Blake Griffin, and you want to win a title, but you can't join Cleveland or Golden State, how would you go about doing that? Who would you sign with? Would you try to recruit your own super team? Like, how do you go about contending with these two juggernauts?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, if you're one of those guys, obviously you look at the team you're currently playing for and you go through the checks and balances to wonder if that particular team can get there. You know, I think the players, if you poll players, I would think that they would want to get it done at the place that they're currently at. But a lot of times that doesn't happen. You know, obviously with LeBron, for instance, when he went down to Miami. So a player like a Gordon Hayward or Chris Paul, they're probably going to have to.
I think we just lost.
Yeah,
that's
told
confirmed.
You to put egg in your shoe and
it's
beat
confirmed.
It.
It was such a great question. He didn't know what to do with it.
You stumped him, Joe.
You know another team that's coming up on the text line? Milwaukee.
I was thinking that same thing.
They can ball out a little bit.
I actually, the team, as you were kicking it around and Lowe said Houston, I was thinking Eastern Conference because you don't want to have to run the gauntlet in the West. It's too many good teams. What about Chicago? You've got Dwayne Wade in the last days. Rajon Rondo is in and out. Jimmy Butler's there. Mirotić is a good young big man. You bring in Paul George and maybe you bring in Gordon Hayward. Now you've got a team with some depth, five or six really good elite players. That might be a spot.
You have to be convinced Butler's going to stay. He's got about another year left, or he might have two. But whatever it is, assuming he stays and he wants to be a part of this, okay, now you're on to something. Now you're on to something. We got him back. Rod Higgins back with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Go ahead, Rod.
No, so what I was basically saying, you know, free agent at the level of a Gordon Hayward, he's going to have to canvass the league, or Chris Paul canvassing the league. If winning a championship is vital, they're going to have to say, okay, my current team can do it. If I'm one of those guys, I'm going out looking at the teams like a Boston who has a lot of upside, a lot of young pieces. Can they compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers next year? Of course they can if they get a Paul George or a Gordon Hayward. That's the mindset of some of these guys, or even a Miami Heat. You know, I think that team is going to be up and coming. You know, how Pat Riley thinks. He's always trying to find the next superstar. So, you know, it's a great problem to have if I'm a star player. You know, you're going to get a ton of money. You know, if it's not obviously a sign and trade, you could sign as a free agent and probably you're going to have to leave money on the table if it's not a sign and trade, as I stated. So, I mean, it's great problems to have. Sure, I wish you and I could have that problem.
Yeah, me too. I'd love to take the max to form a super team somewhere.
Rod, does it offend your old school sensibilities that the players now have so much control and so much of an ability to kind of pick and choose which franchises are going to be good and which ones are going to be left to suffer?
You know, three things in life that are inevitable: what, death, taxes, and change. So the way change is happening in the league is the way it is. I mean, the old school mentality probably, it doesn't really matter what you think and how it is. You just have to be current-minded. You have to think forward. And if you can do it, why not have the power to do it? You know, when I played in the 80s and, you know, you hear some of the old school mentality, free agency, you couldn't form a super team even if you wanted to. So, you know, I crack up at some of the people that say I never would have done it, but until you have had the opportunity to do it, you don't know what you would have done. So it's easy to, you know, give the negative aspect of, you know, the current player and the mentality. And it's more power to the player for controlling their own destinies. I mean, LeBron James, the businessman, he said, look, man, I'm going to go down to Miami because I have the power to do it. And you have to give those guys credit, Kevin Durant, having the power to do it. You know, hey, I got no problem with these guys going and doing it the way they want to do it because it's not the same. Times have changed.
Ron, I couldn't agree with you more. It's good that these players are able to maximize the amount of dollars that's out there. Let's switch gears and head to this series tonight. when you look at this matchup, what is this team going to have to do to compete with the Dubs? Everyone says it's a foregone conclusion, but if you look at this Utah team, the way they can get after Gobert, the big man in the middle, the different things they do, how are they going to compete with this Warrior team? And is they're going to make this a series?
I really think it's going to be obviously a Warrior series that they will win. How many games will Utah win will be the question. I could very well see a sweep. I could see Utah winning a game. But ultimately, I think the Warriors will win, and here's why. You know, their style of play is going to take over, and that's going to control the series. You know, they're going to get up multiple possessions, multiple three-point shots with the ability to defend. You know, Utah's going to have their best players, probably Gordon Hayward, but he's going to have to go up against multiple defenders. You know, you got guys up and down the Warriors roster who can guard him. You know, the rim protection that Gobert will have for Utah, how effective will that be? Because it's, you know, the way the Warriors shoot the three-point ball, the rim protecting, I don't know how vital that's going to be, because they're going to move that defense. They're going to have their defense basically reacting to what they're doing, what the Warriors are doing offensively. If Utah can get into a pace of a game where they can control the tempo, where they're scoring, you know, in the 90s and having the Warriors scoring in the 90s, of course they'll have a chance. But I just don't see that happening. I just see the Warriors' style of play getting, you know, over, you know, 100, 110 points a game. It's going to be hard for Utah to compete at that level.
Rod Higgins with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What did you think about Game 1, Houston-San Antonio last night? The Spurs, usually very difficult to beat at home, crushed at the hands of the Rockets. How do they turn it around in this series?
Ooh, that was kind of surprising because, San Antonio is such a good defensive team. But when you have a team built the way Houston is built, they can jack up a bunch of threes. Pace of play is always vital for them. And their pace of play, their style of play, kind of like I said with the Utah Golden State series, they took over the game. Their style of play indicated who was going to be successful in that game. San Antonio really struggled with some of their big guys. I thought, you know, their bigs, Gasol and Aldridge, would probably be more effective. David Lee, they have not been effective, obviously, in this early part of the series. And you give Houston a lot of credit. They played to their strengths. James Harden, MVP caliber player. He wasn't trying to get his shot off. He had, I want to say, over about 14 assists. Did I see that somewhere?
Yeah.
Where he's now creating for all of his players, and they have a ton of three-point shooting. They just open that court up. It'll be interesting to see how San Antonio responds with the great coaching of Greg Popovich. You know they're going to make some adjustments. I think that series is long from over. It's going to probably be a long series. Could be a seven-game series.
Agreed, Rod. One thing that kind of stood out for me in the game last night was Nene getting ejected for lightly putting his hands on the opponent's throat. We had to go to the review, of course, Rod. We had to go to the video review for 6 minutes of a referee with headsets on to determine that he must be ejected. What's happened to the league, Rod? It used to be we could have a tough, hard-fought playoff game without having to review every single tiny infraction.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, tough for a fan, I would imagine, to watch when you're trying to watch the game in person on TV, what have you, and that six-minute delay. It seems like it could have gotten done so much quicker than that. And, you know, what the league has tried to do is become very transparent in what they're doing in terms of making the right call. So I get that part. You want to make sure you get the call right. Those are things that, you know, when David Stern was in the commissioner's seat, now the Adams in the commissioner's seat, they want to get it right. And that's the vital part that I get. It's just tough to be witnessing it as a fan, either on TV or in person. Anytime you put your hands around somebody's throat, though, I know it's probably an easy ejection, borderline, you know, flagrant, too. Back in the 80s, that would have been play on.
Not even a common foul.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's play on, man.
Rod Higgins with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You were the general manager of the We Believe Warriors. There's a celebration tonight at the arena to mark the 10-year anniversary. If you could take us back, just share some of those moments with us. The fact that the team just came out of nowhere to do what they did, when you reflect upon something like that, what stands out most?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, that group was pretty special in that the way they bonded over the course of the year, because if you look at the way the season went for us that year, you know, we had some trying times. I think a pivotal time was game 61 when we played at the Wizards in Washington. And we were at that point, had lost five in a row. And then that particular game, we lose that game by 1 point on a very controversial call down the stretch. We should have won that game. And I think that kind of propelled us to gel a little bit further. That was our sixth loss in a row. And then we got on point. We were 26-35 on that after that loss. And then so we basically go 16-5 to end the season. We won 9 out of the last 10 games. And I want to say we clinched on that last game in Portland. And then everybody just felt that this team is pretty special. Even with Coach Don Nelson, he had started having some troubles during that part of the time. That, man, are we good enough to even compete for a playoff spot? So it was funny how that season started and the way it ended. Obviously, the trade for Steven Jackson and Al Harrington was the next piece to get that group together. We had a lot of interchangeable parts. Nelly, obviously, is a guy who will try anything once, and he'll start this guy today, start somebody else the next game. And we had, kind of like the current team, defenders that could guard, particularly in that first series against Dallas, who could guard Dirk. And Nelly, having institutional knowledge on that system and how Dirk works, that obviously was something that worked in our favor, because we were sending all kind of switches and things of that nature at Dirk. And, you know, it was such a fun time back in those days. It's funny that they're having a celebration and, you know, it wasn't a championship team. And, you know, it says a lot about the organization just for acknowledging those guys. I'm sure it'll be a fun night for them. You know, it was a great group of guys because they were also off the court really tight.
Yeah,
they were, you know, really special off the court. And, you know, kind of like the current group, the current Warrior group, you know, when you can become close off the court, it definitely helps you on the court.
And Don Nelson, absolutely the perfect guy to be the ringleader for that team. Rod Higgins joining us on 95.7 The Game. We have Kalena Azubuike on in studio for an hour after every Warrior playoff game. What are some of your memories of the rookie Buki, Kalena Azubuike, as a rookie on that team, Rod?
You know, he came in, I want to say, was he there at the start of the season? It seems like he came later on, but you remember him as a guy who, like in the Warrior mode, versatile. He was very athletic. He was a guy who was trying to find his way in the league, and his personality fit in perfectly with the group. I know he had a guy like a Steven Jackson who always had his arm around him and trying to help him, and Azubuike had a lot of upside talent. You know, even after that team, you know, he became a guy who started to develop very well, and he also was a good locker room guy. And then he had the unfortunate injury, I recall, a couple years after that, that basically short-circuited his career, I want to say. But I got a chance to come out to Golden State a few weeks ago, and he and I spent some time together. And he's just like I remember him, a very professional, you know, a guy who works his tail off, and he's always going to be a team guy. Tell him when you guys talk to him again, tell him I said hello, and I'm happy that he's doing what he's doing.
Will do, Rod.
We'll be sure to, Rod. Rod Higgins, former Warriors GM, 14-year NBA vet with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Had a great time catching up with you, Rod. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Anytime, guys. You know that.
Rod Higgins, ladies and gentlemen.
Proud of Fresno State.
To bring up the previous conversation on if you were going to form a super team to contend with the Cavs and the Warriors, and you couldn't obviously sign with the Cavs and the Warriors, where would you go for all these free agents? Salary cap space, number one, Utah. Number two, Denver. Number three, Minnesota. You go sign up with Wiggins and Carl Anthony Towns, you might have something cooking. For Brooklyn, no one's going
Pass.
To Brooklyn. Number five, Phoenix. Number six, Philadelphia. Think about it. I know it's everyone's going to say Homer, but just think about it for a minute. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Saric, top 10 pick. Plus, if the Lakers fall out of the top three, you get another top 10 pick. You add a Paul George or a Chris Paul running the point. I know he would never go there, but think about it. That's a team that could be serious in like 2 years working together. You go further down the list, Houston, seven in salary cap space, so maybe they could add something. OKC, no stars going to play with Westbrook. Chicago, nine, Milwaukee, 10. You put a point with the Greek Freak, you might have something cooking up there as well. Jason Kidd's done a nice job with that team. Real nice job with that team. Craig Bowlerjack, TV play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. He's coming up next. What should we expect? The Jazz have a little banana in the tailpipe in store for the Warriors? We'll find out. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you from the 510. We forgot that if you were willing to join the Knicks, that could be a potential super team as well.
Oh, boy.
As I'm reminded, D-Rose, Noah, Carmelo, straight fire. It's fire, all right. Dumpster fire is what I'm seeing.
No
Tire
love
fire.
For Porzingis?
Grease fire. Porzingis, yeah, that's a player right there. If Phil could clean out the crap and move forward with the youth, you might have a shot. You got a big market there. That's the thing. Cleveland's not going anywhere. Warriors aren't going anywhere. So if you're going to jump and you want to form a super team, what do? You got to find cap space. You got to find something you're happy with, your family's happy with. You might need to aim young. Milwaukee, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Chicago, Dibs, you brought up. Very interesting, especially if Butler resigns. Top 10 in cap space. Get back into that at some point. But Craig Bowlerjack has been on with us before. He's done a tremendous job. TV play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. Follow him on Twitter at BuckleUpBowler. He's with Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
Hey, guys, good to be with you. How you been?
We've been great. It's great to talk with you again. We caught up with you a few weeks ago, but now it gets real. Congratulations on surviving the first round. What's the mindset, the physical health of the Jazz? You don't get a whole lot of time to turn around coming off a seven-game series, but very impressive after dropping Game 6 to go to L.A. and dominate the Clippers in Game 7.
No, it was an amazing series, and really home didn't have much good feel. I mean, the Jazz fans came out in force and were ready for victories, but the Jazz pulled off three wins in Los Angeles, unheard of, especially without Gobert in game one when he went down. And then, of course, Hayward had a bout of food poisoning, Blake Griffin. That was a strange series, you know, just all the way around, injuries and just different storylines throughout. But the Jazz survived, and now with a little rest, they roll into the Oracle Arena tonight. And I think that's one thing maybe that will play a factor. If the Jazz have an opportunity to grab a win in this series early, it would have to be tonight from my standpoint. They play well on the road. They're coming off a very emotional win, game seven, very little time to rest. But I think in this case, they're kind of running on that adrenaline while Golden State's had, 6 days to wait for the second round. So maybe, again, you find Golden State a little rusty and the Jazz are edged up a bit and you go in and play. So I'm anxious to see how the Jazz respond tonight.
Well, I know every athlete believes that they can win and upset. That's just the nature of being an athlete and being a professional athlete at that. Why do you give this team a puncher's chance against the Warriors and thinking the way that they play and watching the way they move the ball? And what is going to be that counterpunch if you know, for lack of a better term, of when the Warriors decide to go small ball? Do you keep Gobert on the court, or how do you match up then?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there is a Gobert factor with Zaza and also JaVale McGee, and he's obviously, you guys know, top shot blocker in the league this you know, regular season, terrific rebounder. His offensive game has come on somewhat after the All-Star break. But you bring up a great point. What is the counterpunch? Is it Joe Johnson, 16 years in the league? He still has some, you know, still has legs, still has that ability to find his spot on the floor and has delivered. I think probably for the Jazz, it's going to probably come down to, again, defense, which has traveled pretty well for the Jazz, and can they slow? They're not going to stop Clay and Steph Curry by any means. But I was just looking last night. The Jazz shot the three-point shot very well throughout the regular season, but really used it a lot during the Clippers. And then, of course, I counter that with what the Golden State Warriors are able to do night in, night out. I think in your four games, you shot 40%. The Jazz went 39 against L.A. So I think I think the Jazz bench with Joe Johnson, it will play a major factor in trying to counterbalance Golden State. And I think the three ball will come into play for both teams. And, of course, watching the Warriors for all these years with Steph and Clay, and now with Kevin Durant aboard, that's a scary challenge, because really when you're on, and the thing is too, when Steph's off a bit, it gives every team an opportunity to stay in a ball game. So very few mistakes for the Jazz. Can't turn the ball over. Can't do those second possession opportunities, because Golden State will run it down your throat. So, you know, that's a long answer, but there's multiple things I really believe that have to happen. First, defense. I think the Jazz have to be spot on with their three-point shooting.
What do you think the defensive matchups are going to look like for that starting unit vis-a-vis who will be matched up to try to slow down Kevin Durant? Because if you have to send a second defender to Durant and double-team him, the shooters will be open on the perimeter.
Well, I don't see Quinn changing anything, Coach Snyder, into the second round. And we saw George Hill. We saw Joe Ingles, who will probably jump out on Klay Thompson. So that's a 6'8 guy against 6'7. They like to have put Joe Ingles. He's a little better guard defenseman than people realize. And then you got Rudy up against Zaza, Draymond, Gordon, and most likely it'll be Boris Diaw, the longtime vet that we picked up in the offseason. Now, he hasn't played a lot of minutes, but it's a way to get him involved, and he's also in the rotation in the fourth quarters. Boris most likely would start on Durant. And then if Derek Favors is healthy, I think you guys probably saw what I saw last night off the Jazz injury report. After a terrific game 7, Favors has come down with lower, back soreness. And I thought, oh, wow, here you go again. And this Jazz team, you have to know, saddled with injuries throughout. But the depth of this team is one of their strengths. And that's going to have to play a factor in this playoff series with the Warriors.
Craig Bowler, Jack TV, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Quick aside, being around the Clippers for a 7-game series, what's the sense you got of the direction that franchise is headed? Chris Paul likely to stay with the team, but Blake Griffin, Doc Rivers, how do you see it playing out there?
Well, there was a lot of talk in Los Angeles throughout the series. And, I think when Blake went down, there was that feeling of explosion, and I'm not sure what his status is. Again, I always like to use the fact when people ask about injury, I'm no doctor. But you know what? It didn't look good. I mean, the reports, he's got an issue, and you guys may know more on the coast. But the bottom line is that the toe, the underneath part of his foot, I'm not sure what the situation is, but not a good injury to have. I've heard the same thing you have. I think Chris Paul wants to stay. Maybe they try to rebuild with him, but they have to remember he's going to be a 13-year veteran in this league come next fall. So at the point guard, that's a lot of wear and tear. That's a big investment for Steve Ballmer. He's got the money, obviously, and maybe that happens. But I see some major changes. There's been frustrations from the start with that franchise since Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan got together. So I definitely, from what the insiders told me, definitely the feeling was that there would be some major changes with L.A. Did that happen? Who knows? But obviously, I think Ballmer wants an arena. I don't think he wants to continue to play in the shadow of the Lakers, even though they do a tremendous job making that arena feel Clipper-like. But at the same time, you still know when you walk in that building, that's the land of the L.A. Clippers, the land of the L.A. Lakers, not the land of the L.A. Clippers. It's an interesting psychology right now, so Ballmer's probably going to play some games and trying to get an arena. If not, who knows what happens.
Craig, you started working with the team a couple years before, and you ended up having the last laugh. So I'm still treading lightly with the question, but I wanted to get the thought, because it's been 10 years since the We Believe Warriors season. What was it like being on the other side of the equation with the Baron Davis AK-47 dunk?
Yeah, that was an amazing moment, was it not? Oh, my.
It was.
Oh, my. Oh, my. AK-47, there's a player from way back. In fact, I was looking last time we battled. It was Boozer. It was AK-47 and a very young D. Will, Darren Williams.
Yeah.
A lot of things have changed since those times. But I'm looking forward to see how this one plays out. Golden State is remarkable. I mean, you fit Durant in, and I really didn't think when this all went down, Kevin had to handle himself, you know, as best he could with the transition from OKC to Oakland. But, you know, was there enough shots to go around? Was Steph's game, was it going to be disrupted? And so far, you know, even though Kevin went out with that injury, there's, you know, he's been able to kind of blend himself back in. And I was reading some interesting stuff too, you know, that Steph had some ups and downs with his 3-point shot this year. And they, you know, some people point that attention to Durant and wanted to play more pick and roll, you know, and Kerr kind of acquiesced and went that way. So, you know, a lot of interesting things that have happened with that franchise. And when you add another superstar, I would expect those type of things to happen, but still to win the games, what, 60 plus 61, remarkable. I mean, that's just remarkable to blend another guy in and still have that type of production. And to put your egos aside, and I know, I guarantee you, as you guys know, that's Alpha Male City over there with the Warriors. So it's remarkable where they are and what they're doing. And they're on a mission after what happened last year against with the Cavaliers.
He's the TV play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. Follow him on Twitter at BuckleUpBowler. It's Craig Bowler Jack with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Craig, thank you so much for your time yet again this morning. We always appreciate you coming on. Enjoy the series, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Best of luck anytime, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much. Craig Bowler Jack. That's a last name I'd take. Bowler Jack.
Strong.
Yeah. Bowler Jack, you, baby. All right, JT the Brick is in the Bay. He's coming in studio next. I'm going to try to put him on the spot so I can mooch off him this weekend. I'll reveal that next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, tickets to give away. Foreigner with Cheap Trick, Shoreline Amphitheater, Saturday, September 2nd. Caller number one in honor of Stack Jack. Caller number one in honor of Stack Jack. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. It's the Live Nation Summer Concert kickoff on 95.7 The Game. You can get $20 tickets to over 30 Bay Area shows now through May 9th at livenation.com/20ticket. JT the Brick in studio. It's good to see
you. Good to see everybody. Good to be seen. Good to be here.
How was Freddie B's golf tournament yesterday?
Absolutely epic. Fred said it was the best one in 13 years. The fans had a great time. The golfers had a great time. And Fred and Angela, the auctioneer last night, I'll get the dollar figure. They bring in this auctioneer, this woman who's raised over $400 million in her career
as
a live auctioneer. And Coach Del Rio was there and Reggie, and they were giving away, you know, trips to Canton and bidding on, you know, lunch with Jack Del Rio and all these other events along with cruises and all this. And this woman just got the room bidding against each other. So a lot of great money was raised for Tracy's Place of Hope. And Freddie was great. He gives you guys his best, and we'll get out there again next year.
You're up in our neck of the woods right now. I'm going to be down in your neck of the woods this weekend. I got the big bachelor party for the final guy I grew up with getting married. We're going to be down in Vegas. I was wondering, are you going to Canelo on Saturday night?
Yes, I'm doing the show from there. I'll be on Radio Row Thursday, Friday with my Fox show, and I'll be going to that fight. That's a really big fight for Canelo, because if Canelo wins this fight, which he should, that'll get the Triple G fight pretty much locked down, and that'll be the next big super fight that'll happen. So a lot on the line with this fight, and it's going to be a T-Mobile show. It should be great.
I figured I would do this on air. What are the chances you have enough juice you could find your boy an extra ticket?
I will find some juice for you, or we'll figure something. I don't think you're going to be able to get up from the night before with the bachelor party. This is the last of your boys going down.
This is the final one. This is the final one. It's a large bachelor party. Some of them are already in town. They're going to be doing like 9-10 days. There's a wave of people coming in over the course of the week. Now, my advantage, having lived there, I want to have nice dinners, hit the pool a little bit, catch the fight in Thursday afternoon, out Sunday morning, should be able to make it rain. But of course, you know, all great plans get laid to waste very quickly once you get to Las
Vegas.
This
is your first guy's trip since the baby was born?
Since the baby was born, yeah.
Yeah.
This first
is
time
test.
I'm coming up for air. I mean,
this
two beers,
test,
I'm done.
Man, this is going to be a test for you. Yeah, it'll be fun. It's going to be a good weekend out there. And one other quick thing, the Spurs, I heard you talking.
Yeah.
I've always backed like the Spurs, and I know the Warriors are going to beat them. I cannot believe this box score. I missed the game last night. I saw the highlights last night and this morning. Lo, we were talking about Aldridge and the fact that these guys got boat raced. I never bought into Houston because I think they're a gimmicky type team, and D'Antoni's never coached a play of defense in his career, so the Spurs or the Warriors would bash them. Should we start talking more about the Rockets being a threat to the Warriors for more than one game?
That'd be a fun series. It'd be a fun series, but it's almost anticlimactic because for 3 years, Brick, we have heard that the Spurs were supposed to be the big obstacle in the Western Conference, and it's never happened. It's never happened.
And it should happen because they're that good and when they're playing well, but they don't show up every night now. If Aldridge has 4 points, and I think he was minus 36 in at home in game one, that means that San Antonio, to win this series, is going to have to go seven again. Not going to win it in six after last night. So you got to expect, if you're a Warrior fan, that these two teams now are going to go at least six games, probably seven. If the Warriors sweep the Jazz, they're going to have another NFL bye week. They're going to have another full week off to get ready for the Western Conference Finals. It's sick.
Final question for you. We dove into this earlier. Dibs had a remarkable Mount Rushmore of live sporting events he's covered. The four best live sporting event moments. Lowe jumped in and did the four moments he's watched because he's partaken in some of the greatest moments in sports history. For you, I saw a picture on Twitter of you, 20 years ago at a Tyson fight in Atlantic City?
In AC.
Of all the stuff you've covered, I know we're putting you on the spot, but if you were doing your Mount Rushmore of sporting events you've attended live, anything come to mind that pops up there?
Yeah, Yankees World Series with Reggie Jackson back then in the late 70s when I was a kid with my dad. Boxing has really been near the top of my list because I've been really lucky in my career to see Tyson and De La Hoya and big fights. But, you know, the access that I had to the Raiders in that Super Bowl year, to be on the field during the Super Bowl, to do the pregame, the best access I've ever had in my entire career is because of the Raiders. That's going to NFL games. It's going to Raider games. It's getting behind the scenes. It's going to the Hall of Fame. When John Madden got in and Mr. Davis brought everybody back and to have access to that. So, yeah, all of my Mount Rushmore stuff, two or three of them got to be covering the Raiders.
JT the Brick with Coach Keating at 10:15, Sam Amick at 11:15, and Jazz radio voice David Locke at 11:30. I will seek you out Saturday night.
Look forward to it, Joe.
Pre-fight drinks.
I think I'm going to be ducking you by Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to be all over you. I'm going to be all over the you like flies on you know what.
Run, Brick, run.
Put him on the spot. You can't say it behind the air. It's like, you know, I might not have some guys this and that. Put it right on the air.
Now, that was good.
In his defense, he can just fire back with a lie and be like, you put me on the spot, man. I can't say no. Yeah, damn it, pull some strings down there. Your boy wants to go see the Canelo fight.
And he's got the juice to make it happen.
He does, and he also has a great setup for all pre-fight events. That was the great thing. I knew him prior to us working together here. I used to do some radio stuff with him in Vegas, and I had known him even prior to moving to Vegas. He's at everything down there, and he's got that great spot at the MGM Grand where even if the fight's at T-Mobile, he's dialed up with the owner, he gets a spot at the bar, you've got the drinks flowing, you got the bartender giving you service. It's a great spot, whether it's at the Grand Garden Arena or you're walking across the street to do a little tailgate. Fight night in Vegas, I've tried to say this before, there's nothing like it. It's not really a sporting event, it's more just an event. Everything about it, you do what you do during the day, you go out, you have the nice dinner, you smoke the cigar, you have a couple drinks, you catch the fight, you roll back into the casinos. You really got to get dialed up for something like that.
It's going to be awesome
buttoned
for you,
up,
man.
Dibs. You got to be buttoned up.
Definitely.
It'll be a lot of fun for you, man.
I'm not going to make it. There's going to be
you
too
gotta
much.
You got a big weekend this week.
Your boy's tolerance is way down. Way down. Yeah. Fatherhood has crushed my tolerance.
Eat. Make sure you're eating, Joe. Don't just start drinking. You got to eat, brother.
Very good point.
Yeah, but here's the problem with eating. Great advice, right? Here's how I start eating. We're staying at the Aria. The Aria has a great buffet. So I go to the buffet, but it's all you can drink champagne. So yes, I'm eating, but I'm also getting twisted up. So by the time I roll out of there, I'm already a mess. And it's 12:30 in the afternoon, Coach. What do you do at that point? I'm not going to go do some push-ups. Forget about water. There's plenty of water and champagne.
Well,
plenty of water and champagne, Dibs.
Yeah, you got to fire back with beers and then shots and then start it all over again.
You drink the Miami Vice. You drink the electric lemonade. That's the Puma's big thing. Puma will get the Cabana at Caesars, and he'll go out there, 60 pounds overweight, all the chest hair, and he'll order everything off the menu. He'll tell the waitress, I want everything off the menu. And I look at him, it's like, why do you want freaking crab cakes? It's 98 degrees out here. We're at the pool, for crying out loud. Get something small on the side. Have a couple drinks. Nah, guy. Let's get everything. It's all going to be comp. Let's get everything. Just because it's comp doesn't mean you should be wasteful. So everything shows up, walking around. He'll eat the crab and it'll fall off. Crab and lobster in the chest hair. He'll be drinking the Miami Vice, spilling it all over. Wow. Well, that's what you do. A great storyteller paints a picture. They're not all great stories, Anna. They're not all great stories. All right, great story tonight. Game one, Jazz Warriors, 7:30 tip time. Right here on 95.7 The Game, bringing us to today's Take Your Pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, guys. So Sonny Gray is making his 2017 debut. The question is, how many games will Sonny Gray win this season? The over is 8.5, the under 8.5.
I'm an optimist. I want to go over.
I'm going over as well on this.
Wow. Anyone else? Anyone think he's going to go under?
I'd go under.
Under. Yeah. It's probably the logical bet, to be honest with you. Yeah, you're going to make the wager.
Kind of shocked. I'm going under.
It's a high line. It's a high line, but I want to feel like he's going to get
there
it back.
You go.
I want to feel like last year was the anomaly. That's it for us. The Brick is up next for Anna, for Lowe, for Dibs. I'm Joe Fornball. Thank you for hanging out with us today, everybody. We had a blast. We'll catch you tomorrow morning beginning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Be good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.